Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, and forever.
Amen.
So, welcome back to this our study or formation class. We are going to continue with humility. But before, I was talking about this before we started, that what I liked was one comment on this our study, and done by one deacon, and he said that at first it was annoying for him that we go so slow, but then he realized, he said, well, it is good way, because he said that you are realizing things you many times skip. Or not skip, that we receive this information about those things, spiritual things, and we continue because we know that we don't give enough time for this information or for this advice or wisdom to some kind of thing inside of us. And I was happy to hear this, and I for sharing my own experience that making this preparation, this one or others, I realized that I changed how I read. That before I was able to read a lot of books in short time. Now these books are making bigger and bigger file on my table because I'm not able to read so fast. That really I'm paying more and more attention to that content of that book or these words, and somehow I feel that I cannot continue until it's some kind I need to process these words or think about this to let them go in. And probably it is good for me, maybe God forced me to do this to teach me to learn how to do this spiritual reading, because as he was, like Bishop Ignatius in first chapters, he was talking about readings, and there was one moment they said we should read and open our mind for that reading, to allow this knowledge to come to our heart. So I would be very happy if this our class, this formation class, would bring us the same thing, some kind of same approach to this text, spiritual text. Maybe those are not only like source of intellectual knowledge, but something that forms slowly our mind and heart, our soul, because we need that time to spend over this, because even we read sometime, we are going to continue with humility, but how many times we touched this topic before? And probably it is our common experience that yes, we agree that this advice, for example, about humility or about reading or about keeping commandments, is very important. We agree with that, but we feel that inside we are not able to follow this, even if we want, that we have to really somehow destroy the old way of our life and to bring something new. But this slow process, this reminding to ourselves again and again these important things, cause that we are causing some kind of crack in our way of life or how we approach spiritual life. And through this crack, slowly, our desire brings acts that we slowly start to follow. And not only follow, we start to love those spiritual things and the spiritual life. So let's go then slowly today again. Okay, come closer.
Okay. Humility, fear of God, a palpable sense of it during prayer, fear of disappearing and becoming nothing, fear that comes from especially pure prayer during which the presence and greatness of God are especially vivid, a deep acknowledgement of one's own worthlessness, a sincere and unforced acknowledgement of everyone else's moral superiority, the appearance of simplicity of soul that comes from living faith, hatred for all praises of the world, constant self-condemnation, truth and firmness, lack of passionate attachment, being dead to all things, compunction, realization of the mystery hidden in the cross of Christ, desire to crucify yourself to the world and to the passions, seeking this crucifixion, rejecting and forgetting false habits and falsely meek words, or the desire or thought to pretend to be meek, acceptance of the unseen warfare, rejection of the wisdom of this world as incompatible with heavenly wisdom, despising everything that is considered great in the world but abhorrent to God, rejection of self-justification, silence before those who offend you as taught by the Gospels, setting aside all personal intellectualizing and accepting the wisdom of the Gospels, cutting off any thought that dares to imagine to be Christ-like, humble-mindedness or spiritual discernment, conscientious obedience to the church in all things.
Too many things, you know, we can make this conclusion, but still, if we understand that Holy Fathers, they see humility as a mother of all virtues, very important thing, that so it seems a little bit like short, but well, he will be talking about humility more in future. But now he gives like just list of these signs of humility, how we can recognize this humility. And if he goes through, think about these words, so we can see topics we were talking about, following Christ, keeping commandments, you know, and discernment, and other things we were talking about. So humility is like salt, that it goes through all these topics of spiritual life, because you cannot talk about love if there is no humility. You cannot talk about faith if humility is missing. You cannot talk about keeping commandments if there is no humility. You cannot follow Christ if there is no humility. And so humility gives like to all these activities this correct base on which all those things are built. This is something we will not stay long here, but we have to realize that each this movement of heart and each our deed, it's somehow without value if humility is not present before God. That even like we can do a lot of things for church, for God, but in the end it might be without value if we do for us, if we do it without this virtue. Because we can destroy this not some kind of not the reward, but this fruit of these our activities, if our intentions are not sold with humility. And this is very important to keep in our mind. And if you remember this about snares of enemy of souls, when Saint Abrancino was talking about this vision of Saint Anthony, and he was explaining how many these snares, these traps of Satan are in the world. And in the end he says that humility helps us to avoid that. So it is a very important topic, and he will return back to this, but even if we go through other topics in next chapters, this call for humility is there. And it is something what maybe this list he gave us, it's good for us to return back again and again to this, to use it as some kind of examination of our of state of our spiritual life. Because with humility it is that we can pretend, and he says this, that well, pretend it and use meek words, false words, just pretend we are meekness, you know. And there is no. I think it's we bring judgment on ourselves if we do this. And again, to have this this humility is really, it's based on understanding who we are. That if we see ourselves as a people who needs God's forgiveness, that we need God's grace, that if we see ourselves who we are really as we are, with all these weaknesses and sins and bad habits and even this not ability to really to follow Christ, even if we want and have this desire, that we see our laziness, not using all our power. So we have to know that, but it is not something that should lead us to some kind of depression. But this state of heart, when we turn to God and we beg, look, this, I am here before you, I am this broken man, person, who is afflicted by this fall, by sins, by our passions. To have this truth, but it should, it's not depression, it is the state of a beggar who knows that the Lord can make him rich. You know, that we turn to God in our poverty, with hope that with his help we can be healed. And if we keep this in mind, then non-stop, and we pray to God and we call upon him with this intention for this healing, so then there will be no time, you know, to make judgment, to see others as worse than I am. Because if we will be so busy with begging for our salvation, for help from above for us, that true is that we will not see the faults of the others. Well, we will see, but well, it will not touch us. You know, it is like water goes under through our coat down, you know, and we don't feel this rain, for example. So it is the same thing with that. Another thing, what is connected with that, or false understanding of humility, is that when we try to be, we try to grow in this virtue, and we neglect our responsibilities through this. You know, it is especially people who have responsibilities, like parents or even the work, a position of even like priests or bishops, you know, that humility is not that I say nothing, that I don't stand for the truth. Humility is not that now, if I, for example, if bishop sees some kind of disorder which causes like harm to church, to parishes. So if he chooses, oh, I will be humble now, and well, I say nothing, I just will be suffering. So this is false humility. He has to do what is his responsibility, but humility is something what directs way how he does that. The same thing with parent. It's, well, I can be humble and I will let children to, and I will be meek to children, even if they go wrong way. So this false humility. I should not try to do this. But humility, real humility, teaches me how to solve this problem, how to apply those things which are coming out from my responsibility, of my vocation, of status, but how I act, this should be solved with humility. Probably there are more things, you know, that we can bring, but I think when we go through others chapters, so we will be able to recognize many other forms in which we can grow in humility. But this is a really very important virtue. Very important. Yeah. All right. Comments or questions? Good. Probably I would not have answers, so I am. So we have lost.
Love. The development of fear of God into love for God during prayer. Faithfulness to the Lord, proved by constant rejection of any sinful thought and emotion. Unutterable, sweet inclination of the whole person in love toward the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity, whom we worship. Seeing in others the image of God and Christ. Preferring all others to yourself and reverently honoring them in Christ's name. Brotherly love for your neighbor that is pure and equally expressed to all, without passionate attachment, equally fiery towards friends and enemies. Prayerful ecstasy of the mind, heart, and body with the love of God. Unutterable consolation of spiritual joy. Spiritual satisfaction. Relaxation of the body as a result of spiritual consolation. The dormancy of bodily senses during prayer. The loosening of the dumbness of the heart. the sensation of prayer to spiritual sweetness, silence of the mind, illumination of the mind and heart, prayerful power capable of defeating sin, the peace of Christ, retreat of all the passions, the inundation of all reasoning by the superior reason of Christ, theology, acknowledgement of the existence of spiritual beings, the weakness of sinful thoughts, their inability to be drawn by the mind, sweetness and great comfort during sorrows, understanding of human fates, depth of humility, and the lowest opinion of oneself. The end is eternal.
Well, again, he describes what love is. And, well, he just gives like, just, he's shooting this thought there. Because we will be talking about all those things, or we already touched some of them. But look how different these Holy Fathers, they understand love. You know, that it is something what if, because we use this word love very often, but if we see, understand this richness which is written here, and we compare it with our understanding of love, so how poor we are in this our understanding, and sometimes wrong, you know, that but it's a really something what points on this some kind of illusions we created in our mind, or they were forced to our mind from this world. Well, again, we cannot, like, this meaning of this word, we cannot, like, put only on this small understanding, like some kind of emotion of heart only. Even it is in this spiritual, when we go to this spiritual height, there is this emotion which is, but it's quite different from emotions we have here understanding from this worldly experience or knowledge. But it is this word in words of Holy Father has bigger or wider meaning. All right.
Father, what does that sentence mean, the loosening of the dumbness of the heart?
It's okay, go ahead.
Could it be dumbness in the sense of unable to speak? Because when someone is called deaf and dumb, back then this would have been the word. I'm just asking if that's the word he's using.
No, you know, if you read prayers written by saints, like especially in the morning and evening prayers, you can find there, you know, these are books. And I'm trying to recall where else, but in the, well, there are many places when we pray and we ask God, remove, calm, change or transform my cold heart. And to explain this, I think what they mean by this is, this coldness is that, look, you enter the church, you go for the liturgy, you enter the church, what do you feel? What is in your heart? And usually there is some kind of movement, we try to be silent, more everything. But if we realize that we are entering to presence of a living God, who is present there, So if we think about this, meditate over this, so it is something which should like bring our ecstasy. This is like extraordinary thing. You know, it's something what should like you enter and you should like block the door, because this presence, this understanding of this presence should stop you, and you should be like in awe in the door, and the others cannot go in, you know. What I mean is that but we don't feel that usually, or it comes when we spend long time in the church in silence. We try to enter to present to this presence of God, then slowly it starts to emerge, you know, out this our understanding what about this reality. The same thing I was not ready for that, but I don't remember that saint, but there were many saints. If they started to talk about God, they started to cry, tears went out, you know, that this dumbness of heart is that we are still somehow, our heart is not pure enough to see this reality, that we are numb, you know, through our words, through our worries, through our passions, through our sins, that with mind we say, well, I know I came to the church, the Eucharist, the tabernacle, but that's it, you know, and this movement of heart which would grab this reality is not there, you know. And well, we should not like beat ourselves up, well, I'm not the horrible person because I don't feel that, but this something what is the fruit of our journey towards God, when we try to be more humble, when we try to follow Christ, when we try to follow commandments, when we try to really grow in understanding of the spiritual things and to live according to this, when we try to live simple life, we are slowly are going to this presence. And you for sure you had this experience that there was one moment and suddenly for a moment you got these goosebumps, you know, that, well, you knew that you are touching some kind of mystery now, what is, you cannot like grasp it to really take it to your heart and to understand, but there is something extraordinary. It's not air conditioned, you know, don't take this illusion, you know, for a mystical experience, but you know what I'm talking about. And one thing is that what I find very comforting and very good that in these prayers, daily prayers, we pray there is this request for transformation of our cold hearts. I am pretty sure that he meant through this, because if we have this sign that, so it is sign that we are coming closer to love, that we start to love, because love caused that. You know, when a boy comes to a girl, he loves, and well, he's coming closer and his heart starts to beat, you know, faster, and he's excited. You know, this is sign of love. Well, and again, we have to Good question. You know, it brings us, I forgot to tell this, that we were talking last time, I think, about this fear of God, that we grow through this to love. And before we talked about this, that we say that we love God, that usually we are liars, you know. But this is what is our journey in spiritual life, that really love is the peak. Love is the, and he says this, that the end is eternal, that love is the fulfillment of our spiritual life. And so we are growing in this love. And actually, to love God is really gift from God, from those who prepare their mind and heart for this gift. So when they make them, they live pure life, and then they receive this gift, and this gift causes that then everything is silent already. We enter to this love when there is nothing, even prayer stops. We are there, we are in love with God, we gaze on God, we say nothing, we are totally silent. That it is the end of our activity, some kind, intellectual, it's really mystical experience. So we are pushing ourselves to this fulfillment of our spiritual life. But yes, at first we have to work on this, our heart. And look, there is a practice, and even like for me, standing, like serving liturgies again and again. So it is very important Miron gave me something. This is a second prayer of faithful. Can you read that?
Yeah.
There's a before a great entrance. There's one of prayers.
It says, again and again we fall down before you and beseech you, O good and loving God, that you hear our prayer and cleanse our souls and bodies of every defilement of flesh and spirit. Grant that we may stand before your holy altar without blame and condemnation. Bestow also upon those who pray with us advancement in life, faith, and spiritual understanding. Grant that they who serve you with fear and love may partake of your holy mysteries without blame and condemnation and be made worthy of your heavenly kingdom, that being ever protected by your power, we may give glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever. Amen.
So it is one of prayers which is prayed silently. And there is many, like this. There is a bigger prayer before the great entrance, and the priest is praying for himself, you know, to be able to somehow perform this mystery. And then, you know, it's very important to, like, before Anna, during Anna Fora, when you sing Holy and Holy, you sing, and well, this is something what you have to remind, you know, again, like, to enter, to together our thoughts and mind and everything, to really be able to see, not to see, but how to realize that this great miracle is happening here for us all. And in this poor, like, looking bread and simple vine, you know, it's not like year of who knows how French wine or something, but simple wine and simple bread, that God enters and in this humble way among us. This is, you have to remind this mystery again and again to yourself, and then then there is some kind of trembling. That what we are, you know, God is doing wonderful things now for us, and we are pretending and we are something, and He's coming so humble. You know that, and this causes that you realize this mystery. And we are invited to do it. If we do preparation prayers before liturgy in these green books, you can have these prayers, set of prayers there. So it is a good way how to prepare or to pray Jesus' prayer, but still with this thought that, well, extraordinary thing is going to happen now. Extraordinary thing, and when you realize that, so every, during each liturgy, you are making your cold heart warmer, because next time it will be natural for you to realize this mystery again and again, and then we will come to this moment when we will be blocking doors, because this awe will cause that we'll be not able to move to a pure, to the church, because there'll be like lighting will hit us and cause that we will stand in this great thing, you know, we are going to encounter. This is God's presence. And not only like in the church, you know, that even like when we pray and we, for example, ask for forgiveness, you know, like evening prayers, and we examine our conscience, and then we ask for forgiveness. And usually we go, we ask that, and we continue. But we have to think about this, that what is happening, we are asking for forgiveness and we are receiving forgiveness. And so it is so huge moment for us that it should bring us this awe, you know, that, well, how God is great, He's answering for these simple prayers. For this simple prayer, He's answering and He's acting my soul. Isn't it like when we pray for others? There's somebody sick, and the person, and we know about the person, and we say a prayer and we ask God, Lord, please help this person, and we say a short prayer. But it should be connected with that we realize that God is acting now. God is acting up. And like this blind man who was calling upon when he heard that Jesus is going around, he started to cry for mercy, and they were trying to stop him, you know. But there is amazing this word or this verse that Jesus stopped. Isn't amazing that simple prayer, if we say like this, O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we know from gospel that this prayer has power to stop God, and He's paying attention. It's this amazing thing. But we are so used to these spiritual things that somehow we don't let ourselves to sing a little bit. Many times we say, well, I will say like 300 times Jesus' prayer today, and we can do this. But once you realize that, what the power of this prayer and how God is, how He loves us, that He stops because I call upon Him. This amazing moment. So if we let this thought to go down to our heart, and if we might stay like 5 minutes in this awe, but those 5 minutes will be more important for us than all these 300 times Jesus' prayers said like in normal pace. And so it is good for us to daily, or common life, daily life reminds us all this, reminds us many things we can, when we can pause, stop, and to be in awe. We have to learn this. We have to learn this, and it will transform our heart, soul, this coldness of life. And even like outside, you know, our pet, you know, you see your pet, and it isn't an amazing thing God created, you know. So you see other person, and you know that as you have your own, like this life, this story of life, your own world, that each person has the same thing, and God cares above everything. And so everything can help us to enter to this mystery of God's creation, of God's works. And we should find time to be like those who to learn to walk during day in this awe. And this practice will lead that our heart will be more attentive to God, to His presence. And through this attentiveness, our heart will be able to love more and more. All right, I let myself to go too far. But did it answer your?
Yes.
So, thanks God, we are going to start new chapter. But, well, we are going faster through this chapter. Hopefully, you know. So let's try. Well, I can see that we will not do a lot of today. But let's use this time.
Okay.
On loving one's neighbor. What can be lovelier, more wonderful than love for one's neighbor? To love is blessedness, to hate is torture. All of the law and prophets are concentrated in love for God and one's neighbor. Love for one's neighbor is the road by which we are led to love for God, since Christ deigned to mysteriously put on every one of our brothers, and through Christ, God himself. Do not think, beloved brother, that the commandment to love your neighbor is already near to our fallen hearts. No, this commandment is spiritual, but our hearts are lorded over by flesh and blood. This commandment is new, but our heart is old. Our natural love is corrupted by the fall. It must first be put to rest. This is commanded by Christ, and only then can holy love, love in Christ, be acquired from the Gospels. The qualities of the new man must be all new. Not one of the old qualities is appropriate for him.
Okay, so this new chapter, chapter 17, is on loving one's neighbor. And in this longer, some kind of, at least I understood it, some kind of like introduction to this teaching, is that he reminds us that we have to, again, to somehow understand correctly what does it mean love. We were talking about this. And he reminds us that well, we are afflicted by the fall, that our nature, which is some kind we see as a something that is natural, normal, is not something what should be normal. That is our nature, we used to it, you know, that is something normal, but it is a result of this corruption which came through a sin. And even we have this commandment to love neighbor and to love God, that we understand this new commandment, we have to understand that our heart is old. That we have to, there is a need for transformation of our heart. It means transformation how we think, how we feel, how we act, and based on Christ's commandments. And when we start to do this, we can find obstacles, we can find that, well, it's not so easy as we thought at first moment. So in this chapter, he gives us some kind of thoughts and advices how to learn to love our neighbor, because it is condition. If we don't love neighbor, we cannot love God. You know, it's impossible. It's impossible that, and many people they skip this part to allow our neighbor to have this gospel's attitude towards the neighbor, and they say, well, but I love God. Well, there is some kind of illusion there. All right, so let's continue several paragraphs. There are short paragraphs, so.
Love inspired by the movement of blood and the feelings of the body has no value in light of the gospel. And what value can it have when one who swears to give his life for the Lord when his blood is hot swears that he does not know him only a few hours later, when his blood has cooled? The gospel rejects love dependent on hot-bloodedness, on the feelings of the carnal heart. It says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household." The fall of mankind subordinated the heart to the lordship of the blood, and through the blood to the lordship of the prince of this world. The Gospels release the heart from this bondage, from this slavery, and bring it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches how to love one's neighbor. True love that is sustained by the Holy Spirit is fire. This fire puts out the fire of earthly, carnal, fallen love. He who claims that he can have the one kind of love together with the other is deluding himself, said St. John of the Ladder.
All right, thank you. So he continues, and somehow he explains this deformation of our nature through which this our understanding of love is coming. That if we say that our nature was corrupted by sin, especially like this, because of fall in Adam, so then we should not trust this our understanding which comes out from this our fallen nature. And he shows us several examples. He shows like example of Saint Peter. You know, like he was swearing that, well, not swearing. What is this word?
Swearing.
Right? Yeah, because it sounds to me that I said something different.
Swearing, but not cussing.
Okay.
Two different ways.
Yeah. All right, good, then. It's relief. That he will stay with Christ and everything, and in few hours, he betrays him several times. So this is an example that this love, which is coming from our this fallen nature, is not some kind of real thing. And he says this about, well, this difficult, like saying gospel that when Christ says that he didn't bring peace on earth, that he brings sword, and there will be division, that son will go against father and daughter against mother. You know, it's difficult to accept this, you know, and again, this difficulty comes out from this heart which is still under like this nature which is broken, corrupted, not understanding thing. Look, if we are, and when we are talking about passions and commandments and other things, we could recognize that there are a lot of this, that we are tied with many things. That, for example, if somebody's passion is laziness, so this laziness puts like handcuffs to me, and I will be not able to see needs of others. It means that I will be not able to show them love through my service. But there are many other things. It might be my pride, which cause that I'm blind, that I see only myself. I am not able to see others. I don't listen well to others, which itself can be sign of love, but I am missing a lot of these signals others can send through this, their thoughts, their words, that which might help me to put more might be helping to find ways how to help them through prayer and through acts.
I'm not
gonna
kill it. You gotta kill it.
You
can't let that thing.
Oh,
it's
spider.
It's gonna eat somebody.
No, it's fine. It's a spider, pretty good sized spider.
It's a spider that's this big.
It's magic. Yeah.
Maybe I can just kind of corral.
There's no way it's that big. Oh.
It's like a
big
spider.
Here, you want to use a piece of paper?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're a crazy person.
This was sent by demon, this spider. Where did brave go?
That's a good word for it.
No, I will leave it. It's good to have this.
The devil sent a spider to disrupt.
Yeah, devil sent a spider to disrupt, and we had brave girl, and she fought the demon. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's alive and well.
All right, so let's have these several paragraphs up to here, and we will finish here.
Up to here?
To like...
Okay. How far has our nature fallen? He who is by nature capable of fiery love for his neighbor must exert a tremendous amount of willpower over himself in order to love him in the way the Gospels command. Fiery, natural love easily turns to disgust, to irreconcilable hatred. Natural love has even been expressed with a dagger. Our natural love is covered in open wounds. What a terrible wound is passionate attachment. The heart possessed by passionate attachment is capable of any injustice, of any crime, if only to satisfy the cravings of its diseased so-called love. Dishonest scales are an admonition to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Natural love gives only earthly goods to the beloved. It does not even think of the heavenly. It battles against heaven and the Holy Spirit because the Spirit requires the crucifixion of the flesh. It in battles against heaven and the Holy Spirit because it is under the dominion of the spirit of evil, the fallen and impure spirit.
Okay, so he continues in this description of this some kind of love which comes from a heart which was not cleansed, you know, through our spiritual work, through our this transformation. And he describes this love that he says, I think this is perfect. The natural love has even been expressed with a dagger. So it is so true. And again, through this he says that this what we call love, in some, it's many times these are some kind of passion we have, which cause some kind of, some which brings us some kind of satisfaction, that while we love until it brings us satisfaction, when it doesn't bring us satisfaction, it turns to hate, you know. So it is, and it is caused by these ties of our passions. That when we are still slaves of these our sins or these movements in our heart, which are not coming from God, from they are not from God. So you can see this extreme change all time. So. And we can find it, you know, like we can find many examples, you know. We look to our daily life, we can find these examples. We can find a lot of situations when people who are showing us favor, you know, until we were doing what they wished. When we said, for example, no, how it changed. You know how, he in the end he says, well, real love requires sacrifice, and it is the most common sign of real life, love. If there is a sacrifice, not always, but it's a very common sign. So. We will continue with different approach. He's going to show us and talk about how we can grow in the real love. But I'm happy that with this first instruction, we did it today. So thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you and God bless.